All right, I'll call the meeting back to order. Legal counsel, do you have a report out of closed session?
No, nothing to report.
All right, thank you. That will return to open session now. And we'll open up to public comment for items that are not on the agenda. Is there any public comment for items not on the agenda?
Good evening. My name's Charles Farney, and I'm president of the Oceano Community Services District. Not here representing the district per se. I want to recognize that over the next couple of decades, the Sanitation District has a huge opportunity to provide leadership in South County for a regional water treatment and recycling operation. It's a huge opportunity for our three communities of Oceano, Arroyo Grande, and Grover Beach to collaborate and work together for the benefit of the entire five cities and to create a truly sustainable groundwater basin. In 3 years, the first 10-year progress report to the Coastal Commission from the Sanitation District is due to the Coastal Commission's executive director on progress meeting the special conditions for the CDP for the redundancy project. And these special conditions required for the redundancy project provide the context for possibly a safe and secure new treatment facility and the recycling of 100% of municipal wastewater. Community engagement and education is really an essential aspect of this process. And over the next 3 years, as we come up to that 10-year report, I'd like to focus my energies on the structure and process for this. My term of office at OCSD doesn't go that long. It's up this year. And because I want to work actively on this aspect of it, I'm going to need to resign my position as the alternate for OCSD just because it just puts too many limitations on being able to communicate with folks, and that's really what I think this is about. I really want to compliment the district on the great job that they've done. I know you're in a tough place now with the problems with the clarifier, but I know those are getting cleared up, and I want to compliment you, Mr. Gann, on the great job that you've done. I mean, when I look at all the reports and everything, all the I's are dotted, the T's are crossed, and I think we're in a really good position. So with that, that's my public comment. I'm going to go down to the Democratic Party meeting. But thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, any other public comment? Seeing none, I'll bring it back, and we'll have item number 7, our consent agenda. So we have the warrants, the meeting minutes of May 1st, and the resolution for collecting the fiscal year 24-25 district annual wastewater treatment charges from the community of Oceano through the county property tax roll. So is there any discussion? Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board.
Well, I'll make a motion that we accept.
There we go.
Yeah, you're on.
Thank you.
Yours is in.
I'll make a motion that we accept consent agenda items as presented.
I'll second.
A roll call, please.
Director Linda Austin?
Yes.
Director Karen Bright?
Yes.
Director Karen Ray Ressam?
Yes.
Motion carries.
All righty, thank you. We'll move on now to our action items, which 8A will be our wastewater treatment plant redundancy project update on secondary clarifier number 2 rehabilitation. So I believe we have a presentation on this.
Yes, good evening, Jeremy Gent, District Administrator. This evening, we have a couple members from Kennedy Jenks here with us to provide a presentation and update to your board on the repair and the process that's happening for the secondary clarifier. So with us this evening is John Wyckoff, who you've all met before. He's been the project manager delivering the redundancy project, along with having been working. I if I recall correctly, 77 or 78 comes to mind since he's been working at the sanitation district. Every major project or overhaul John's been involved with, as we've often relied on Kennedy Jenks to do all of the major work at the facility, which was originally designed as, it was just Jenks at the time, I believe. Is that right, John? Yeah, so it's a Jenks plant, and there's several up and down the coast, and they're quite popular, and they've ran a long time. In addition to John, we have Mr. Keith London. Mr. London is the CEO of Kennedy Jenks. Kennedy Jenks is a leader in the water and wastewater industry, certainly on the West Coast. Large company that does over $200 million in billing a year, and does a lot of great works for our partner agency up and down the coast. And so with that, I'd like to turn it over to John. He's going to give you a presentation. And thank you, John.
Thank you. Welcome. Thank you.
I'm here today to talk about the secondary clarifier rehab update on that, but basically let you know what's going on, what the redesign repair is. Go to the next slide. Back one. So I'm talking about the rehabilitation approach, so you know what that is, where we're going, and what the status of it is right now. And then Keith will give you a statement of from Kennedy Jenks about our commitment to the project. So where we are is, this is a sort of a plan view of the secondary clarifier. The first part of the project is to demolish the slab, the broken slab. And the hashed mark portion that you see in the slide there, that's the portion that's coming out, all that part of the slab. The center pier is staying, and then the outside ring, which is the foundation for the walls of the clarifier, is staying in place. So basically, part of that has been done. That whole slab has been saw cut into sections. By 4-foot section has been taken out between the wall foundation and the slab. The concrete has been removed, so the rebar that comes out of the wall foundation is staying in place. That'll be there attached to the new slab that goes in. And what we've also done is we lowered the groundwater around the clarifier down below the bottom of the clarifier so the work can be done in the dry. And then we'll, at the end, then we'll put in a new thicker slab. Next slide. Okay, so right now what's been done is the slab has been cut up, and they started putting in the micropiles. There's going to be 115 micropiles total installed. Two of the micropiles are test piles. And you see the plan view here, all the blue dots are micropiles, and also the green dots are micropiles. The round circles, those are stone columns that were put in before the clarifier was actually constructed. It's the clarifier sits on, supports the clarifier. The micropiles that are going in are going to prevent uplift on the slab, which is what caused the problem. On the right there, you'll see it's cross-section of a micropile, what it looks like. There is a bar that goes through the micropile from the bottom to the top and has what's called a pile cap on the top that will connect into the new slab to provide resistance up and down. The micropiles are 65 feet, right now they're 65 feet in length, and so the green dots are micropiles that are 10.6 inches in diameter, and the blue dots are 8.6 inches in diameter. So I said that they put in the initial two test piles, and they were actually tested today. Don't know what the results are yet, but they tested them today. So they went in, and they're going to get ready to start production on the rest of the piles. Okay, once the piles are put in, go to the next slide. We're going to install the new slab. The new slab will be, you can see here, attached to the micropiles. The new slab will be 16 inches in thickness. The old slab was 10 inches, so it's going to be a thicker slab. And the micropiles will be there to hold that slab down. Also, when the slab is poured, there's going to be, at each joint, where there's joints between different sections of the slab, there'll be water stop placed to prevent water from going through the joint. Also, as I mentioned before, the new slab will be attached to the center pier and the outside wall footing with by rebar. So the rebar that's sticking out of the wall footing will go into the new slab, the holding together, and there'll be dowels placed into the center column and that will go into the new slab also, hold it in place. And then the next slide here. Once we get the new slab put in, the next step is to reinstall it, the mechanism and test it. And it gets a torque test to make sure that the torque switch works. But that will go in, and once that goes in, apply the swept in grout. The grout that was removed as part of the entering of the project, we put back in. And then once that's done, and while that's being done, the concrete will be gaining strength. It takes about 28 days for the concrete to come in strength. We're doing that work. And then we'll stop the dewatering, let the water come back up, and test the clarifier for leakage, make sure it doesn't leak, and see what we put it back into service at that point. So once it's back into service, the rest of the project will continue on with starting up of the aeration basins and the rotary drum thickeners. So that's where we are right now and where we're going. The contractor schedule has them finishing in November. But we think we're going to try to make that sooner, try to double up on some of the work and shorten that time schedule a little bit. But right now the contractor is showing November for completion of the work. So, and with that, I'll turn it over to Keith here. And he can talk about KJ's commitment.
Can I ask a quick question before you go away?
Sure.
First of all, I don't want to put you off about taking pictures. My son is studying environmental engineering, and we've been talking about this project for months. So I'm like excited to like show him, like, hey, look, this is how they're doing it. So please don't take anything from that. I just have a quick question. You said the maybe November. Does that mean maybe November and then let it cure for the 28 days, or that no, literally that, done that, November? That,
November will be cured, put back into service by November.
Great.
That's the goal. But hopefully you. We'll try to get it sooner than that, you know, maybe October, but we don't know yet. It's how fast they can combine work and do things overlapping and get it done a little sooner. But it takes about 60 days to put the micropiles in, and then it might take a month or 2 months for put the slab in and let the slab cure while the mechanism's going in. That will put us probably in around September sometime. Hopefully it'll all be done by November.
Great. Thank you so much.
I just have a real quick, I'm sorry, I have a real sure. quick, but the micropiles, so they go, they're those big long metal tubes, those, they're like 65 feet long.
They're 65 feet long. They drill a hole 65 feet down.
They drill down. Do they stay there then?
Yes.
They're staying.
They drill down the hole. They put the bar, the 1 3/8 inch bar down through the hole, and they fill the hole with grout. And that is the micropile. And it stays in place. And that's what holds the slab.
That's what keeps the front,
slab
okay.
from moving.
All right. Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
My name is Keith London. I'm the president and CEO of Kennedy Jenks. Really, I'm here just to talk about our commitment. I met with Jeremy. When did we meet? February?
I think it was February.
February, and apologize it's taken me this long to get here. I live in Temecula, California, so I am not that far. 105-year-old engineering company, and we stand behind our work. So that's my statement to you today is we're focused on the solution. In my career, I've been CEO for 18 years. I've had a lot of experience with clients. There's always challenges on projects. And I always learned very early, it's not about whether you have them, it's what you do about them when you find them. And we're working very collaboratively with the district in trying to come up with an amicable solution that avoids all dispute resolution. I think that our council and Keith, I love having another Keith in the room, it's always fun, are working very well together. I get weekly updates on this project. I insist on getting weekly updates because the sooner we get you back in service, the better this is for all parties. We're actively supporting the team to keep parties aligned to achieve project completion. John gave a good report on that. We're going to be committed, whether it's M&S, whether it's MKN. We're working as a partnership to try and solve the problem and get the project back up and running. We're providing ongoing project updates with our professional liability insurance carrier, CNA, to make sure that they understand where we are, where that we're working this together, that they're not left in the dark, because at the end of the day, they are a partner to this as well. We need to make sure they are lockstep with us of what we're doing and how we're getting it done. So that is what we're doing. That's my commitment to all of you. Same commitment I gave to Jeremy back a few months ago. And we're going to see this through because we've been in business for a long time. We're going to be in business for a long time to come. Problems occur, we solve them. So that's our commitment to you. I'll entertain any questions you might have.
I have comments, no questions.
Which is better, Aurora Grande or Temecula? I'm just kidding. Thank you for being here. I only have comments as well.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. First of all, I just want to express my appreciation for your willingness to stick with this and make sure that it is the project that that we're after. And the idea of being focused on solutions, I think, is absolutely the right approach. So thank you so much for that, and I appreciate you being here.
All right. Thank you.
Were you going to do public comment before comments? Or?
Is there any public comment on this item? Okay. I'll bring it back to the board.
Yeah, I'll just say in the same vein, you can, you know, obviously sit down. It's been really impressive to see how these large groups of people from different companies and different interests can come to the table and work amicably and get something done and do it in a not only a timely manner, but trying hard to even beat that. And it's been really impressive from my side of the table. So I look forward to that continued collaboration. It's nice to have you here, and your personal appearance means something to me, and I'm sure it does to your company and to your other clients. But thank you very much to you both, and we look forward to getting to that point where we all get to, I don't know if we get to crack a bottle of champagne on that thing or something. At that.
Well, yes.
Well, I hope you'll come up for that. So, but I just want to say thank you because your personal appearance does make a difference.
And I'll just wholeheartedly agree with everything they said, and I appreciate seeing you here. And I know it's been these last few months, everyone working together has made us feel very comfortable, you know, and so we really appreciate everything that's being done, and all the collaboration with all the different companies is, and to have you be here too. So thank you. All right. So let's see. We have the resolution now to increase the budget for the wastewater redundancy project and ratify the district administrator's execution of change order 25 and 26. So we're going to read the or.
Yeah.
Good evening, Jeremy Gent, District Administrator. The item before you is to approve a resolution increasing the budget for the wastewater treatment plant redundancy project and ratifying change orders 25 and 26. So this item really accomplishes the change in budget that's necessary to complete the secondary clarifier project. And the staff report was largely put together by Ms. Shields, and so I'd like to invite her to give the presentation on it because the numbers did kind of come together last minute, and so I'll turn it over to Eileen. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gent. Eileen Shields with MKN, the District Project Manager for the Wastewater Treatment Plant Redundancy Project. So our recommendation is to approve the proposed resolution authorizing an increase in the budget for the wastewater treatment plant redundancy project to complete the rehabilitation of secondary clarifier number 2 and the startup and commissioning of the project overall, and ratifying the district administrator's execution of change orders 25 and 26. As you know, the construction of the district's wastewater treatment plant redundancy project began in January of 2021. The project will allow major process units to be removed from service for maintenance or repairs without risking violation of effluent permit limits. The project had largely been successful with the total change orders at less than 3%, apart from anticipated schedule overruns going into the summer of 2023. As you know, in July of last year, damage to the new secondary clarifier floor slab was discovered. So the design for rehabilitation, including third-party reviews by the district, was completed in February of 2024. As you just heard, the project team is working really judiciously on that rehabilitation design, and we're currently working to negotiate proposed change orders provided by the contractor. The district also retained an independent consultant to provide a cost estimate for the work associated with Secondary Clarifier 2. So several change orders have been issued for the early portions of the work to keep the project construction moving forward. But the total for SC2 work exceeds the remaining construction contingency. To allow construction to continue without interruption and mitigate the potential for further damages, the district administrator has authorized two change orders that exceed the current project budget. And this was performed after consultation with district legal counsel. Staff recommends the board increase the project budget to account for the work needed to complete the redundancy project. The costs are being tracked separately from the overall project, and costs due to design errors or omissions will be included in the claim being submitted to the design engineer. The staff report includes Table 1, provides a summary of the original and the proposed revised project budget. The SC2 costs are based on the costs approved to date for the construction and professional services, and the estimated costs, assuming the SC2 rehabilitation is completed by October of 2024. So I'll note here that your previous report indicated that we might be into November before that completion is done. It was kind of a range we were looking at when the staff report was put together. I think the costs presented here in the budget should cover October, November. We've also included some contingency on the work that's left to be done, so a 10% contingency on the remaining work for construction. We also have a 10% contingency overall on professional services costs. The revised budget does include a reduction to the main project or the base project contingency, close to $2 million, which allows us to reduce the recommended revised total or the add that we're asking for. We're recommending an increase in the budget overall of just over $7 million. We are maintaining a contingency on the main project work that's left to be done at about 10%. So as you can see, that contingency is a little over $67,000. There's not a lot remaining in the main project work. It's essentially commissioning the aeration basins and the secondary clarifier. So I do have additional details attached in Attachment A of the staff report if you want to look at the details on the budget. The proposed resolution is also attached for the board's review and approval. And as stated, it's authorizing the increase in the project budget and ratification of the district administrator's execution of the two change orders. Concludes my report, and I'm happy to address any questions you might have.
Thank you very much. Is there any questions?
I have none at this time. Thank you.
No, I think we're good. Appreciate it very much. Is there any public comment on the report? Seeing none. Okay. So we'll bring it back. Ready to do a motion on this?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay.
I move that we make a resolution of the South County San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District Board of Directors approving an increase to the wastewater treatment plant redundancy project budget and ratifying change orders 25 and 26.
I'll second that.
All right. Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Can we get a roll call, please?
Director Linda Austin?
Yes.
Director Karen Bright?
Yes.
Director Karen Ray Ressam?
Yes.
Motion carries.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you, Ms. Shields, for being here and giving that report. All right, that'll bring us to our 8C. Yeah, we have that for MNS.
Yes.
The contract amendment. This is a new one, right? I got, okay. So authorize execution of contract amendment number 3 for wastewater treatment plant redundancy project construction management services with MNS engineers pending USDA concurrence. Okay.
Yeah. Good evening, Jeremy Gent, District Administrator. Yes, the item before you is to extend MNS, our construction manager's contract. I think some of you have met Megan Panofsky at times here in the meeting, but MNS has been on site throughout the duration of construction, and they were one of the first contracts we extended when we realized that we had the secondary clarifier damage. And so with that, we didn't know how long it was going to take, and so we extended their contract in December of 2023 through June of 2024, which is this month. And so the item before you is to extend their contract to provide construction management services for the duration of the repair of the secondary clarifier. And those costs are captured in the previous item as well. And so with that, we're asking for the approval in the amount of $427,780.02. And I remind the board, when it says pending USDA occurrence, that's administrative only. We do submit all change orders to the USDA because of the financing involved. And that concludes my report.
I have a quick one just on that. So do they have the ability to say, no, we don't agree with that, or is it just keeping them in the loop?
So they provided a... Wait, so does the USDA have the ability to say no? No, in this case, they don't, because the way the funding is structured, they're not providing any additional funding based on these change orders. Their funding is fixed in the low interest loan. If they were paying for the project directly through a grant and we were asking for additional money, they may have the ability to say no. But the language is just in the contract that we have to submit all change orders to the USDA. In fact, when we first started doing it, they're like, why are you even sending them to us? And we reminded them it's your language in your contract that says we have to send them all to you. So we continue to use this language, but they've just okayed everyone to date.
Got it. Thank you so much.
So just to be clear, this amount, the 427 you said in the previous... This is part of the extended budget for the repairs?
Yes, I'm looking to Eileen to make sure I get the head nod, and she said yes. And okay. So yes, that is included in the costs of that we're estimating to construct the repair.
All right. Any other questions? Any public comment? Seeing none, bring it back for a motion.
Well, I'm already on. Okay. I will make a motion that we authorize the district administrator to execute a contract amendment for construction management services for the wastewater treatment plant redundancy project with MNS engineers in the amount of $427,780.02 pending USDA concurrence.
Second.
Director Linda Austin?
Yes.
Director Karen Bright?
Yes.
And Director Karen Ray Russom.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, we'll move on to item 8D. That's a public hearing and adoption of resolution number 2024-, approving budget for fiscal year 24-25. So do we have a report on that?
Yeah, good evening, Jeremy Gent, District Administrator. This evening we are having the public hearing for the adoption of our resolution approving the budget for fiscal year 24-25. We're asking that we review that budget, open a public hearing, receive any public input regarding the adoption, then close the public hearing and direct any revisions if necessary, and then adopt resolution approving the budget for fiscal year 24-25. Ms. Simpson, Secretary of Bookkeeper, is prepared to give a presentation on the budget, which you saw the draft of at the last month's meeting.
Right. Okay.
Good evening, ladies. Yes. This is your fiscal year 24-25 amended budget. Tonight's recommendation is that you review the budget for fiscal year 24-25. Open the public hearing to receive public input regarding the adoption of the budget. Close the public hearing And direct revisions, if any, be incorporated into the budget for this fiscal year, and adopt a resolution approving the budget for this fiscal year. The consolidated budget has revenues at $17,132,500. The expenditures are also going to total $17,132,500. The amended budget, this slide shows the amended budget compared to the original budget. The two accounts that I adjusted to balance based on the reports you have heard earlier tonight were the use of the redundancy funding money. We needed to increase it to $9,960,000. And that will cover the costs of the repair to the secondary clarifier and complete the redundancy project. Next slide. Currently, the district has cash and reserves. In our operating budget, at the end of May, we had $1,979,100. Of this $1,979,000, $486,051 is designated as a reserve, which means that the district cannot touch that money unless a board approves it. And so that leaves the cash available at $1,493,050. The money in the capital expansion account, which is where the redundancy project is paid out of, currently has $9,501,015. And the Fund 26 capital replacement account has $490,619 for a total cash of $11,970,734, and minus the reserve, we'll have $11,484,684 to start June of this year. Fund 19 is our operating fund. The accounts that Fund 19 is budgeted has the personnel, the permits, fees, and licenses, the communications and computer support, the administrative costs, the legal costs, the engineering, the coastal hazards and monitoring, the LAFCO budget share, the Zone 1-1A property tax. It covers agency billing, disposal services, the utilities, the maintenance, tools, replacement, the materials, services, and supplies, the training and education, debt service, new capital equipment, and the transfer out to Fund 19 to support the Fund 26 projects. The district has 10 employees. We have one district administrator, one secretary bookkeeper, one wastewater plant superintendent, a laboratory technician, a wastewater plant operations supervisor, a wastewater plant senior operator, and four wastewater plant operators. Fund 20 is the expansion fund, and that is where the redundancy project and the SCADA project are budgeted. Currently, we have the wastewater redundancy project, anticipated cost of $10,180,000, and a $25,000 anticipated expense is proposed for the expansion of the district's supervisory control and data acquisition, or SCADA. Fund 26 it's the capital replacement and maintenance account. And this money comes from the transfer from the operating Fund 19 to 26. And this shows a list of all of the projects that Michael anticipates getting done this year. The first one is the collection system and SSMP update of $154,000. And the rest of them are all maintenance projects that we expect to complete this year. In conclusion, your fiscal year 24-25 budget meets all known district operation and maintenance needs. Funds for this fiscal year capital costs, including the completion of the redundancy project. And that concludes my report.
All right. Thank you very much. Any questions?
No, thank you.
What's the upgrade to city water project? What does that mean?
The upgrade, our city water project is currently, I think we have a 5/8-inch water line coming into the treatment plant, which is significantly small in size. And what we're wanting to do is upgrade that in size to provide enough water to run our plant, our entire plant on city water if necessary. Currently, we use our reclaimed water to feed our plant system. So this would upgrade the city water in the event our reclaimed water were to fail. We can operate on city water, our full facility on city water.
Okay. That's all I had. Did we open the hearing?
And just to be clear, by city water, we mean OCSD water.
Right, yeah. Yes. Okay. So we close the public hearing. And then we will adopt the resolution if there's no more comments or questions. Somebody make a motion that we adopt the budget.
I navigated all the way to the end and it's a long report. So. All right, I will move that we adopt a resolution that is not yet numbered approving the budget for fiscal year 24-25.
I'll second that.
A roll call vote. Linda Austin?
Yes.
Director Karen Bright?
Yes.
Director Karen Ray Russom?
Yes.
Motion carries.
All right. Moving right along to, where am I? I lost my page. We're on, what's next?
8E.
8E?
Central Coast Blue.
Central Coast Blue update. I missed it.
Good evening, Jeremy Gent, District Administrator. And just before I get started on the unlabeled ordinances, I just wanted to quickly point out that that's not Amy and I like just not getting around to it. What Amy's learned through some of her participation in secretary and bookkeeper conferences through CSDA is that sometimes when we pre-number these, we've created an electronic file with those numbers in it and a numbered resolution. But then if your board doesn't actually pass one of those resolutions, it's the wrong number, but it already exists as that number electronically in our files. And sometimes those files, I mean, if we were all perfect, it wouldn't matter. But since we're not, sometimes those legacy, it can get really confusing because you'll have two resolutions with the same number. So anyways, that's intentional. I just wanted to point that out, that we intentionally omit those numbers until the board passes those resolutions. So now, Central Coast Blue project update. I wanted to take a moment with all the changes that have gone on with Central Coast Blue. And I might actually read some of the staff report, which I don't typically do. So back, I'll skip some of the older history, but the district's been involved in the project since the beginning, but then as the project advanced, it became less so involved in the project as phase one was the only portion that was going to advance. But in 2021, a JPA was formed between Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, and Pismo to fund and advance the Central Coast Blue project. And during the course of 22 and 23, cost-sharing agreements were entered into between those agencies. And then in 2024, there were some recent developments. So I'll read some of the bullet points. And I worked on this with General Manager Jeff English from the Central Coast Blue Project. But there were statewide cuts to the grant programs, and that resulted in a $10 million increase. And I know some of this is repetitive to your boards, but what I'm doing is capturing this in the district's record because of our involvement. And if we just stayed silent about this, the project would just disappear and we wouldn't have any record of it. So there was a $10 million reduction in the project's water recycling grant from the state, the budget overruns at the state. The post-COVID world resulted in construction cost estimates increasing by nearly 45%. The cost of issuing debt has increased rapidly due to changes at in federal policy and at the Federal Reserve. Some of the changes in conditions that we have, Lopez Lake made a historic rebound. The past two seasons it has spilled, and so it's only spilled one other time in its history. So the water picture here locally has changed during project development. So those changes in cost and need, combined with some community protests, resulted in JPM members directing staff to investigate withdrawal from the JPA or the project, and ultimately led to following action. So on May 13th, the City of Grover Beach withdrew from the project. On May 14th, the City of Arroyo Grande directed staff to withdraw from the JPA. And on the 21st, the City of Pismo Beach provided direction requesting amendments to the JPA agreement by the partner agencies to preserve the JPA for future benefit, but also essentially removing themselves from the project. Current project status is that the Central Coast Blue project is officially on pause with no current engineering work, and all permit applications have been withdrawn. Some recent communication from the board members on idling the project. So on Wednesday, May 8th, OCSD President Charles Varney, who was at the time Director Austin's alternate, sent an email to Arroyo Grande Mayor Karen Ray Russom and Grover Beach Mayor Karen Bright. With the pending withdrawal from Central Coast Blue by all JPA members, President Varney was seeking to foster a discussion about including features of Central Coast Blue with any future SSLOCSD treatment plant relocation, which we have talked about. Our coastal permit has requirements for us to investigate with retreat from the coast. Subsequently, on that Wednesday, Mayor Karen Ray Russom responded to President Varney's email, and the mayor's response copied me. Upon seeing the nature of the request to discuss SSLOCSD business, I interjected myself and reminded President Varney and Mayor Ray Russom that since President Varney is actually a district alternate board member, these discussions needed to happen in public to be in accordance with the Brown Act. And so I've captured those emails in the staff report so you can we and the public can see those discussions happen. High-level discussions on should we consider including recycled water with the relocation of the wastewater treatment plant. At the highest level, what I could say of that is absent any recycled water, like Central Coast Blue, is that a new plant would be absolutely required to produce some reusable product with its effluent, whether that's Central Coast Blue quality water. It's that wouldn't be the requirement to get to that level, but some reuse, whether it's agriculture reuse or Title 22. So a future project would likely include some recycling components if a project like Central Coast Blue didn't come in before 2047 and take that water and put it to beneficial reuse. So with that concludes my capture of the idling of the Central Coast Blue project. And I'm not sure it's over. I'm sure there's going to be some discussions going on. But for the time being, it's paused. And we'll capture that in our record and move on. And I'm happy to answer any questions your board might have.
Any questions?
Only comments.
Okay. Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, you have a comment?
I will start with an apology to the board. Completely slipped my mind that Varney was your alternate because he's never once been here. So as soon as Jeremy brought that to my attention, I did the proverbial, probably not even proverbial, forehead smack. So I apologize to the board. There is a missing response here because he responded to your letter and included me on that response. I didn't do anything with that. But there is one more that the board should see.
Okay, so there was, when I responded, I'm aware of an email that he responded to both of you, but I don't know that I was copied on that particular response. But I am aware of another email where, and he BCC'd you and Karen Bright. And so I did not immediately become aware that you were copied on that response.
Yes.
So I think I do have that email to back up.
I think the remaining board should see the whole of the correspondence there just for transparency purposes.
Okay.
So there's that.
Okay.
And then we have an update on Sumter Goes Blue, which we were just at on Monday. And the upshot of it all is that both Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande have pulled out of Central Coast Blue, of the JPA. And Pismo Beach, in order to preserve the JPA, it needs to be joint, right? It can't just be one entity. So they pulled in their public financing arm of their jurisdiction. I don't know exactly how that works, but they pulled that in, so we approved that. And that preserves the JPA to go forward so that Pismo Beach can continue to work on that project as they see fit and do whatever they want to. And that concludes the cost-sharing agreement between Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, and Pismo Beach as of the end of the fiscal year, June 30th. Okay. So as of Monday night, two nights ago, the JPA, as you know it, is no more. And Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach are out, and again, as of the end of June, not fiscally tied to that in any way. Pismo Beach will go forward as they see fit. Perhaps they will find some redesign. Perhaps they will find some other way to do a similar project. I don't know, but we won't be a part of that anymore. That will be entirely under the umbrella of the city of Pismo Beach.
Okay.
Excellent job.
Thank you. Okay. That's it. All right. Did I ask for public comment on this?
I think
yes,
so.
Did. I did. Okay. Well, then this is just a file. Thank you for that, Mr. Gint. That'll bring us now to our, our reports. I don't have my, the district administrator and plan operations report.
So, good evening, Jeremy Gent, District Administrator. Some of the updates I give in my administrator report were formally updated tonight, so this will be brief, and I'll turn it over to Michael for his plan operations report. So on the redundancy project, like I said, obviously Kennedy Jenks and Ms. Shields were here and provided updates to the board on the status of the project and repair. Our cogeneration project, we had a design meeting on the 30th, and so the project design continues to advance on our cogeneration to use our waste digester gas to generate electricity to offset power use at the facility. Miscellaneous, so SEIU has contacted the district administrator to begin negotiations. I think that is now scheduled for the 18th of this month will be our first negotiation with SEIU. This might be a little bit of a bigger year, so it'll take some time to get through those negotiations, I would imagine, just based on inflationary pressures. We just got out of a 3-year contract, so no plant tours, and then tentative items. We've been in communication with Moss Levy, our auditor, and the audit is expected to come back, but the delay is on their end. They're short-staffed right now, and they're busy in trying to complete audits for other agencies, and so they don't really have the ability to break away and give a presentation. But they said they would reach out to Amy when their availability improved. And so with that concludes my administrator report. I'll turn it over to Mr. Jones.
All right. Good evening, ladies of the board. Michael Jones, plant superintendent. I'm presenting the plant operations report for the reporting period of May 1st through May 31st. During this reporting period, the district did not have any violations of its NPDES permit. All process values were well within permit limitations, as shown in the May 2024 data table. Operations and operation staff completed a multitude of operations and maintenance tasks. We also completed a few work orders and some training that operations staff participated in was fire extinguisher use, and then operator and training staff performed training on our confined space tripod and davit crane setup. During this reporting period, we didn't have any call-outs. Moving on to some staff photos. District operators are shown in the first photo pouring a new concrete slab for our new primary clarifier number one sludge pump. In the second photo, we have district operators in training being trained on the setup of the davit crane and tripod. And then in the final photo, it's a good picture of almost all of us participating in the training on the fire extinguisher safety. And with that, that concludes my report, and I'm able to answer any questions the board may have.
Any questions?
No questions.
No. A good report as always. Thank you very much. Is there any public comment on the plant operator's report? Seeing none. All right. Thank you very much. Is there any other business before the board? Do you have the? I still can't find
board member. Board member communications?
Yeah.
Not for me.
I just briefly, Michael. I just love your reports and the slideshow at the end every time. Because when I first got on this board a million years ago, we didn't have that. So it's so nice. It makes us feel. It makes me feel a little more connected to what's going on there. Right. So I just want to say that's great. And the brevity of that report of no call-outs, we're not in trouble. We got nothing on the like knock on wood. Yeah. Keep up the great work. Thank you. And I also wanted to say it is above and beyond for you to sit through all the rest of that agenda. I hope that we made it bearable for you as much as any budget hearing can be. But I just want to say thank you. It's a lovely show. It was unnecessary for you to stay that long, but we appreciate it. And just thank you so much.
Yes, thank you so much. All right. With that, anything else? Okay. Then anything else before we adjourn?
Just real quick, so our next scheduled meeting is July 5th, and I anticipate, unless something happens, fully cancel. I won't have the July 5th meeting, and I anticipate canceling it fully. If something happens with the project in urgency, we would shoot for the July 19th, and I do believe I have an email where you're out of town.
I'm out of I'll be in Wyoming. So looking forward to it. So, yeah, I can be available on the 19th, not on the 5th.
Okay.
On the 5th?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll plan on canceling then.
We'll plan on canceling, and it'll be, I think, August 7th if nothing urgent happens.
Okay.
And, oh, yeah, and we'll be back in Oceano in August. If the July would be in, it would be in Oceano regardless whether we were in July or August.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Thank you again, gentlemen, and Aline for being here tonight. And with that,